Hi, El Shakar. You're welcome to the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And today we're going to be discussing keeping the flame alive without sex. Yeah. Yeah. So El Shakar is my very married friend. We are very married people. And I just feel like that qualifies us to have this conversation because we have successfully crossed the, how will I say, the finish line into marriage. We crossed the dating line into marriage. I feel like this makes us an authority on the subject. I'm just joking, obviously. But yes, I shared the story of how Ismeme and I met and how we started dating. And I think in the comment section, someone asked, how were you able to keep the flame alive without sex? Because I mentioned that we had boundaries. And I thought that that was a very interesting question because I had never like thought about it like, oh, this is a thing. But after that person mentioned it, I was like, okay, I think this is a, you know, conversation I would like to have eventually. And so today we are finally having it. So I just wanted to ask you, like, first off, what were your boundaries when it comes to dating? That's pre-Christ and post-Christ.
Pre-Christ? Wait. That's a big one.
Yes. Pre-Christ and post-Christ. Yes, we are going to go there.
Well, pre-Christ.
Yes.
Let's say that, you know.
There were no boundaries.
There were no boundaries, yeah.
Oh, my days.
It was a wild time.
Yeah.
So we thank God for Jesus.
Yes, we do, actually.
Well, post-Christ, I guess I started understanding the value of restraint, you know, and the purpose it plays in, especially in the courting period.
Yeah.
Because for me, I didn't really think, well, in Christ, I never really had the chance to really date anybody. Mm. It was just like courtship straight on. So I knew that this woman was going to be my wife.
Okay, sorry to cut in. I had this convo with my sister yesterday, actually. We're talking about dating versus courtship. Mm. And I was telling her that, oh, Christians like to say courting because dating is basically, let's just use sex to see where this goes. That's dating, right?
I mean, it's still semantics at the end of the day because some people might say dating, but when you look at what they're doing, it's like courtship. But for the sake of proper, you know, definition, it's a courtship, dating, etc. But it's still semantics at the end of the day.
Okay, so even though you were courting, you were like, you say you were dating this person.
Yeah, we're definitely dating, yeah.
Yeah,
about
okay.
3 years before we got married.
3 years, wow. So I'm very interested in knowing first off what your boundaries were and how you guys did 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was a real battle. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a real struggle because we definitely had, well, physical attraction to one another. And let me just say, we're just not playing with fire, you know, there's this tendency to, you know, take risks. Oh, yeah, it's nothing, you know, let's just sleep over, let's, you know, and yeah, it might sound nice, but then you start to play with fire, you know, and you say, well, I have self-control, but hey, you know, when you get in that space and then all some feelings start to come around, you're just like, whoa, you know, and then just being honest with ourselves that we're both a work in progress, and if we take too many risks, we'll find ourselves in an unfortunate position, if I would say.
I find that interesting. So, since you guys had boundaries in place, what did you guys do to now deepen intimacy?
I mean, we really got to know ourselves. Personally, I feel like anything that stimulates a great amount of pleasure has the potential to really blind a person, you know, and sex is one of those things that is very blinding, right? Because it's very pleasurable. And, well, me personally, I believe that one of the reasons why God will have us, well, restrained from sex before marriage is because it gives you a time to really know that person beyond the intoxicating power of sex. When sex is not involved, then it's very real. You know, I mean, like they say, for example, in marriage, sex is one of the things that saves marriages because, like, that joy, that pleasure it brings, it brings like a fresh spark into the marriage. So when it's not there, you have just yourselves to deal with, you know, and
yeah, I think God was very wise.
Yeah, and if you can get through that, well, hallelujah.
Yeah,
because
actually,
it is, you really get to know who you both are.
Mm.
You get to know what you like and what you don't like about yourselves. You get to know what you both need to work on in order to have
a beautiful relationship. True. Very good,
Because sometimes, I mean, there are a lot of couples who talk about how they had a very sexy relationship or sexy marriage, but there was no friendship, you know? And it can be very deceiving because...
But how does that work?
It does work because, like, after a very nice night of sex, like in the morning, there's just this joy that can... When I say joy, I mean more like, you know when you don't want to disturb the peace?
Oh, gotcha.
But really, there are a lot of issues that are underlying. But you like how you felt yesterday. So let's just not...
Let's not trouble the water.
So a lot of relationship. Like, again, I'm not speaking like I'm some
guru.
I'm not, you know, but like sometimes sex, especially when it's very good, can make one become blinded to all the other issues that need to be addressed, you know. So in the time before marriage, you know, when that is not there, all the issues are on the table, you know, and most people run away. But it's a time where God wants to really teach us how to begin to iron out our differences and really become friends, you know, because at the end of the day, bonding, relationship, marriage is not one-dimensional. And by saying that, I mean that our physicality, our physical body is one dimension. Our emotions are another dimension. Our thoughts are another dimension. And most people only have a marriage, a bond, a relationship on a physical level. And very soon one realizes that that is never really enough. Eventually realize that there's much more to my need to know someone than just sex. I like for us to connect emotionally. I like us to feel the same things about things, or at least relate in some way. I like for us to have the same kind of trajectory of thought and patterns of thinking. I like for us to have the same will, you know. And when sex is just the loud friend or loud thing in the beginning, you then miss out on this very, very important part. And if people before marriage are able to establish a kind of bond on an emotional and mental level, actually the sex even becomes more powerful.
Yes, I definitely do think so, which is why I was like, how do people have sex without friendship? I don't know. That's like icing without cake.
It can happen. Come on.
Mad. But yeah, like, you know, basically I think that what that person was asking when she was saying, like, how do you keep the flame alive without sex, is that most men will not show an interest in you if sex is off the table, you know. And for me, I have always said that I feel like that defines why the person is talking to you, or why the person is there, you know. But then there are some people who might say things like, well, it doesn't always mean, you know, obviously these are like, this is like worldly wisdom.
Yes.
You know, this is not godly wisdom, but worldly wisdom will tell you that somebody might meet you on the first, they have sex with you and still marry you. Somebody might meet you, date you for 10 years, not marry you and still break up with you. Like, you know, I feel like that's worldly wisdom, because when you look at the amount of heartache and pain that that kind of wisdom leaves in its wake, you now start asking questions like, is this truly working and is this truly wise? If there is a 1% success rate and like a 99% failure rate, is it really successful? You know, for me and Issy, like when we were dating, obviously one of the first things this woman asked me was what my, you know, boundaries were. And just like you also mentioned, like one of the things that we decided was that we were not even going to kiss until we get married. I know that people have different, you know, viewpoints about this. And it wasn't even necessarily about being holy or being righteous. That too is there, because it's like, what is the most I can give God in terms of purity? But it was also just a wisdom issue, because it's like, this is going to ignite a kind of fire that is not needed, you know. So if we're talking about keeping the flame alive, it's like, what flame are we talking about? Because there is a kind of fire that is not needed. So even scripture says that do not awaken love before its time. So it's like, why should I start getting myself worked up when there's no need for it yet? You know, like you said, when that is off the table, you now start looking at the other issues, at the other things, you know, like, oh, this person maybe did this or did that. The way you spoke to me yesterday, I did not like it. The way you said this, you know, this and that. And then you now have to start getting into the nitty-gritty of who this person is. And I think that's where a friendship really is built.
I agree.
Yeah, so I think that many people might go into a relationship and then just start having sex, which brings a false kind of intimacy, right? It brings a false kind of closeness to this person. You feel like you guys are close and you're always going out for ice cream and this and that, and it might lead to marriage. Like, you might end up getting married to that person. Aside that, there are issues where I've heard of couples where something happened and they were not able to have sex anymore. That has happened. I know someone who had a stroke, I think, after she went into labor, and whoa. Yeah, like her whole, like the whole side of her body was gone, and obviously this person cannot have sex. So it's like, what now happens in that kind of instance? Will her husband still love her? Will her husband still show up for her? Or is that a good reason to start cheating? So I remember one time also having this convo with EC where he was saying that beyond don't do this and do this, that he feels that what God is really trying to build is the spirit of self-control. It's not really much about do's and don'ts. So if you get into marriage now, and for instance, you people cannot have sex, maybe because you want to fast and pray, or because somebody is sick or something, is that now a good reason to cheat?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, because like, I've heard like lots of men say things like, oh, my wife was fighting me and I found comfort in the arms of... I found comfort in, and I'm just like, yes, I understand that you were probably under pressure. Yes. Do you understand? But this is where that self-control that should have been built during dating now, like, you know, kicks in. So yeah, so I think that some of the things that can be done to build intimacy is going out.
You definitely say that.
Yeah, going out to the movies, hanging out with friends, playing games. You know, Issy and I used to play board games a lot. Yeah. And playing those board games was just a way for me to get to know him. And that was when I now found that this guy is pretty intelligent. Like, no, to be honest, like, he's very intelligent. Like, he knows so many words. He's very good. I was just like, wow. And then, you know, from there, he started asking questions. Oh, you know so many words. Do you read? Yes, I read. What kind of book? So, you know, that is how, like, you know, friendship really, really is built. Yes. Do you want to share some of the ways you guys built intimacy?
I mean, we definitely hung out a lot. We watched, well, we like to watch movies a lot.
Yeah, and, you guys do.
Yeah, we really love movies. And I'll say we use it as an opportunity to have an understanding of both our perspectives. Because movies show people's lives or portrayals of people's lives. And then, oh, what do you think about that? Or what do you think about this?
Gotcha.
And we started having an understanding of, let me say, value system and, you know, perspective on things, you know. And also think, hanging around with both our friends because it gave us an opportunity to see each other in an environment beyond just ourselves. Because the truth is that every environment brings out something
for
new, you know, and it helped us to see, maybe for example, now I'm shy or she's shy, and all of a sudden when our friends come around, you see her so bubbly, oh my god, that's interesting. Okay, and then you start to study, oh, what about this group of people brought that out of her? And also maybe we are somewhere and we feel reserved. What about that place brought this kind of thing out? So it helped us to start to see different let's say dimensions of ourselves, you know, and have new understanding. Because just spending time just by yourself is great, but is limited, you know, because there's so much more that can come out of us in, you know, different spaces and so on. Yeah, we hung out with a lot of friends. We did a lot of movies. We were never really card games. We tried it a few times. But most of the time when we played card games, it was always with friends. So like board games, card games, always with friends. But we never really did that. Maybe we should actually do that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think four of us should do that. But like, I think that board games also helped this meme see that I am pretty competitive. Like, true. That was when this meme was like, oh my goodness, what is your problem? Because I would not want to give up. I must win. I must come out on top. And that just even led to deeper conversations, because he's like, why do you want to win so bad? Like, why is this so important to you? And then even me, I'm like, I don't know. I just want to win. He's like, no, let's really get into it. And then it starts tracing things to your childhood. You start to now understand yourself even better, you know. So I think that when sex is off the table, like you were saying, it just gives a chance for just more wholesome growth, to be very honest. Why do you think it's easy to rely on sex alone for intimacy?
I mean, it's so easy because, I mean, sex is very pleasurable. That's the truth. One can't deny it, you know. And yeah, like, because of the intense pleasure it brings, it has a tendency to suppress a lot of negative emotions.
Mm.
And intimacy oftentimes happens when, you know, there's some kind of joy. Mm. Not always, because sometimes pain actually makes people come together, to be honest.
Mm.
Shared pain, shared struggles, it binds people mm-hmm. as much as shared joys and shared success and so on. But yeah, because it's so pleasurable, it creates a kind of false sense of reality. Mm. Sometimes it can, not always, but it can create a false sense of reality that, I really love this person, but not really.
Mm.
Because most times our definition of love is very self-centered, you know, and I love you because, I'm so happy by because of what you did for me or what you made me to feel, but that's not really love, not really, you know. And because there is a false conception of love, you know, when someone, having sex with someone makes you so happy, so joyful, you feel
you
like,
say, I love that person. You know, really,
you know, it's very self-centered.
Mm.
Like you talked about the woman who got paralyzed halfway, you know. It gives the man in that situation an opportunity to really develop a love that is not about self-gratification.
Mm.
A love that has its focus more on the other person than it does on him.
Mm.
And it's very difficult. You know, one cannot speak low about something like that. It's not it's not something that is very light. Mm. It's not something that anyone can easily go through. It's a very, very tough circumstance.
Yeah, but very selfless.
The toughest circumstances have the greatest potential to bring out the most beautiful qualities inside of us.
Mm.
And such a time, you know, can teach the person how to love more, because again, when sex is the highest thing on the table, the most common thing that is happening more than anything, it can sometimes be deceptive.
Yeah, because it's something that I see that happens a lot. Like, there are lots of couples, in quotes, and what is bringing about the coupleism is just sex. You know, so I'm like, why is that, like, comfortable?
Yeah, because
apart from just the fact that it's pleasurable, you know, why is that just a comfort area? Why are people not wanting to have more or have something deeper? For instance, men now, why don't men want to have something deeper with women?
Well, let me make it more general. I'll say that people often choose the path that is easiest. Sex is easy. It's easy, but actually working through differences, working through the complexities of each other's emotions, that's hard.
Mm.
And most times people run from that, because people like easy things in general. It's human nature. We most times gravitate to ease than to discomfort. But actually, it's in discomfort that we can gain the strength to create ease in our lives, I would say. So I'll say it's because most times people look for what is easy and run away from what is difficult, if you ask me. I feel.
Yeah, and I think that there are a lot of women who just go ahead and just do this because they think that that is the only way. For instance, when I was much younger, maybe 17, 18, I know that I always used to dress in a particular kind of way. I didn't think deeply about it, like, why am I dressing in this way? I just knew that if I wanted a guy to talk to me, that was how I had to look. And I didn't really think of it like, oh, this is not modest, or this is indecent, or this is going to do this or do that. I just wanted somebody to talk to me. And I just felt like, if I wear this, somebody will talk to me. And every time I would dress like that, somebody will talk to me. You know, and then over time, I started to see this happen with so many other women as, you know, in this, you know, area also. Many women might not even, and I'm just saying women because I am a woman, so I can only speak to what I have, you know, gone through. Many women might just, you know, decide to go ahead and sleep with somebody. They are not thinking about it deeply. They just want the guy to just maybe hang around or love them or continue coming back. You know, because me, I used to feel like, okay, I will use this dressing to draw you to me. Then when you come to me, you will not love me for who I am. You get? But if somebody has come to me because of how I'm dressed, then he already has something in his head that he wants from me. And then once he gets it, he's out the door. Literally, he's like, peace. Right? So I found that is not wisdom, obviously. That's not godly wisdom. So now, what do you say to women who, let's say, feel that there's no way I will get married if I don't have sex with somebody? Because that is real for many people. They feel like, okay, you're telling me not to have sex with this person, then he's going to break up with me and find someone else who will have sex with him and eventually marry her. So how can I get a guy to be serious with me when sex is off the table?
I'll say, first of all, it starts with the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
If I really believe deep in my heart that no one can marry me without having sex with me, then I will have a very weak resolve And the slightest push I would give in, because deep down I really believe that unless there's sex, no one could get married to me. But if one has a genuine mindset and really believes and holds on to it and says to themselves that someone is going to get married to me, even if sex is not on the table before marriage, that mindset alone, in a way, it will kind of create a kind of sieve, you know. Plus, I mean, what you said about dressing, right? And how, you know, like I say, a broken clock is right two times a day, right? So it's very possible that you might attract someone, but many times you attract the wrong people. One time you might attract the right person. Often people use that as a justification for, but the truth is that most times it's going to attract the wrong people.
Yeah.
And there's that place of marketing the right thing, right? Like, for example, a political office, right? We know that political office comes with different kinds of perks, different kinds of exposures. It creates a lot of room for a lot more business opportunities, money-making ventures, and so on. But if that is what is marketed, the perks that come with the office, you are most likely going to get the wrong candidates. But if you market the cost of being in that office, the work that needs to go down, you're more likely going to attract people who have counted the cost before coming. And I believe it's the same with women and men as well. What are you marketing to the opposite sex? Because that's what is what you market that people you know are coming for, you know. And often there's women afraid because, okay, if I market like my intelligence or my whatever it is that is aside from my sexuality, men will be intimidated. But hey, we can't keep, you know, living with that ideology. At the same time, I believe men also need to be re-educated as well, because I believe that a lot of men to also put that pressure on women to make them feel like they have to look like that. But sometimes maintaining your standard creates an automatic filter for the kind of men that come to you.
Yeah, that's true. I also really sympathize with women, just, you know, because I know that even when I was like growing up, I used to hear a lot like, oh, isn't it, you said that you're going to be like this, you're going to be like that. Are you sure you're going to see someone that's going to marry you? You know that it's girls like you that used to finish last, you know, this and that. And I think that that's why when we see Christian women get married to men that look like, I don't want to come out sounding funny, but there's a way Christian brothers are.
Lol.
Women don't want that. Well, some women don't want that, right? And so when you now see the woman get married to like a guy that looks, it can give a lot of people hope, you know, in that sense that, okay, maybe I won't be that 35-year-old woman going to like Shiloh. There's nothing wrong with going to Shiloh, by the way, nothing wrong with it, you know. But they always mock women that, oh, continue like this, you'll soon be 35 years old going to Shiloh and saying, God, please give me a husband, and all those, you know. I hate that thing, by the way, because there is nothing wrong with praying for a husband. There's nothing wrong going to Shiloh.
You have to pray. You want rubbish to come to you.
Yeah, but women are being mocked for praying, basically. So yes, basically. So like, I can understand why women would want to, you know, compromise, because also women who tend to be like, man, I'm not even going to do any of that good girl or anything, seem to be the ones getting married and having boyfriends and dating and things are working out for them, you know, whilst the ones that are trying to do it the right way, quote unquote, are now the ones that are getting married in their late 30s, in their 50s, coming to do testimony in church that they got married, you know. So yes, I can understand and I do sympathize with them, but like Elle was just saying, at the end of the day, if you market just sex and that is what you get, you might eventually get married, but it's like, what is the quality of the marriage that you are even in? Because marriage is long. It's 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, you know, if Jesus tarries. And you don't want to be with somebody that honestly might be causing you a lot of heartbreak because they are cheating on you. Because if the reason why he came to you was because you were so hot, what happens when you are not hot anymore?
Absolutely true.
Because that's a fact and that's going to happen. So what happens when you are not hot anymore and there's a 20-something-year-old that is now an intern in the office that is young and is hot? Like, you know, so I think one thing that we learned during marriage counseling, one thing that our, you know, counselor said to us was that another perk of keeping sex off the table is that when you get married, you're able to trust each other more. So if I go out, Issy will not like jump in the car and like, let me be sure that she is really going to go and get her hair done, because like both of us have, over the course of these number of years, demonstrated a level of self-control with each other. So it's like, I trust you to do the right thing, and I trust you to honor me, not just with your words, but with your body also. You know, so I feel like where there's always that lack of trust is where it had already been breached before. It's not even like it started in marriage. And I think that that is even something else. A lot of people think that marriage will automatically just wash everything and make all things new. But it's like you are going to sleep on the night of your wedding and wake up the next day, literally the same person.
Indeed.
So I think that's all we are just going to discuss in this particular podcast episode. And if you know that you have like follow-up questions to this, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram, on the Easy Like Sunday Morning Podcast Instagram, sending your questions via DMs. We'll be happy to do our best to answer them. Obviously, we are not posturing like we have all the answers to all the questions in the world. We are just trying to share our experiences and the things that God is teaching us as we grow and, you know, as we age. So yes, thank you so much, El Shaka.
My pleasure.
It was a wonderful conversation. I'm happy we had this conversation. Yeah, and I will see you guys in my next podcast episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode on the Easy Like Sunday Morning Podcast. We hope it was fun and insightful, and would love for you to express that by sharing this episode with other people. You can also leave your thoughts and comments on our Instagram page and on YouTube, and you can shop our merch, which is available for sale now. All of these will go a long way in supporting us and in helping us to continue creating. We hope you have a restful and enjoyable week. God bless you.